During my first year of seminary, I took Introduction to Pastoral Ministry. It's a required class. The instructor was a Baptist minister and a former Army chaplain who was now working at a UU church. In one of his lectures, I don't even remember what the point was or what he was talking about, but he talked about men, women, and whatevers. He was referring to transgender and non-binary people, human beings. He called them whatevers. One of my best friends on the planet was sitting next to me in the class. My friend is transgender. Yeah, they were annoyed by the comment, but in a way, also used to it. The same way I get used to racial microaggressions. You just get tired sometimes because you know you can't fight every battle every time. This teacher made several other comments about people that were unkind and hurtful. And I'll tell you what, he picked the wrong week and the wrong person to say that in front of. The people who were the subjects of his comments were too hurt to speak up at the time. And frankly, most of us were just too stunned to say anything at the time. But I wasn't. I pulled him aside after the session and told him exactly what I thought about his comments and how hurtful they were and that maybe he might want to reconsider. I had a conversation with the provost and with our seminary president about that instructor. It took a long time and a lot of work to heal the wounds that he caused in that class. We worked on it for almost a year. And he is no longer teaching at Meadville Lombard Theological School. My friend presents now as a white male and is totally committed to being a strong ally for people of color as we work to dismantle the culture of white supremacy. But the battle flags of social justice can get awfully heavy sometimes. Sometimes when my flag is too heavy and I'm weary from the fight, my friend picks it up and marches beside me and says, "I'll take this for a while." And when their flag gets heavy, I say, "I've got this." And we keep on marching. That's what real friends, real siblings, what real allies do. Transgender Day of Remembrance is an opportunity for me and for all of us to carry the flag of our transgender siblings and to remember those who were killed, not because of something they did or didn't do, but simply because of who they are. Now, I wish I could tell you this morning that Unitarians and Universalists and Unitarian Universalists have been longtime supporters of gay, lesbian, transgender, and queer rights. But I can't. Yes, we've preached equality and free will and universal love and salvation for hundreds of years, but we didn't really put it into practice right away. We didn't walk the talk for a long time. In 1967, the UUA conducted a survey of its members, which showed that nearly 88% of those asked believed that homosexuality should be discouraged. 80% of them believed by education, and 8% of them really thought it should be done by law. 2 years later, in 1969, an existing minister, Reverend James Stoll publicly declared his homosexuality. In 1972, we added Invisible Minority, an adult religious education class, and shortly thereafter opened the UUA Office of Gay Concerns, which would become the Office of Lesbian, Bisexual, and Gay Concerns. We were starting to move in the right direction. In 1979, Reverend Doug Strong became the first out gay man to be called by a UU church when he was installed in Augusta, Maine. But it wasn't until the late 1990s that we were really ready to embrace gender identity. In 1996, what seems like just a few years ago, we established the Office of Bisexual, Gay, Lesbian, and Transgender Concerns and launched transgender training for the Ministerial Fellowship Committee and religious educators. In 2002, we updated our Welcoming Congregations Handbook to reflect gender-neutral pronouns and to be more inclusive of transgender and non-gender binary congregants. That same year, Reverend Sean Parker Dennison became the first called transgender minister. In 2017, this year, two transgender ministers were called when Reverend Dawn Fortune came to the UU Congregation of the South Jersey Shore and Reverend Otto O'Connor came to First Parish in Malden. TRUST, which stands for the Transgender Religious Professional UUs Together, is an affinity group of educators, musicians, youth, seminarians, and ministers that advocates for the gifts, safety, liberation, and leadership of trans religious professionals in UU ministries and institutions. It's now up to 44 members. This year, at General Assembly in New Orleans, they brought before the Assembly a proposal to change the wording of our second source from the words and deeds of prophetic women and men to the words and deeds of prophetic people. Not one person stood to talk against it. They're making progress within the association, and I'm proud to be an ally in their fight. Outside the association, there's still much less acceptance. There was an article in Newsweek a couple of weeks ago with the headline, "Under the Trump administration, there have been more transgender deaths in the U.S. than ever before." The author points to the anti-transgender rhetoric that began last year during the presidential campaign and has continued this year through direct action. But before we talk about some of that, let's be clear as to who we're talking about. There are three concepts you should understand for purposes of our conversation. There's natal sex, which is your biological sex. That's what your chromosomes and your genes and your hormones say you are. There's gender identity, which is what you feel you are on the inside. And then there's gender expression, which is how you present yourself to the world. Transgender is an umbrella term that includes people who cross those dominant concepts of gender, those whose gender identity is different from what is typically associated with what appears on their birth certificate. This could include men, women, non-binary, gender fluid, gender queer, gender diverse, and gender expansive people. The most important part is that they are people, human souls, just like us. Human souls who live in fear of harassment and discrimination from police and the justice system. People who often face rejection at home, in schools, and in their communities. Only 16 states and the District of Columbia have added gender identity to their hate crimes laws. These are people. People who are often denied equal access to housing, employment, and health care. Almost one-third of all transgender people live in poverty, and their rate of unemployment is double the national rate. More than 30% of them report being fired or denied a promotion or otherwise discriminated against at work just because of who they are. 20% rely on the underground economy of sex work, drug sales, and other illegal activity just to survive. These are human beings, our siblings, who struggle for equal access to the healthcare system. Many are uninsured and can't afford care. Many don't go to the doctor for fear of being discovered or discriminated against. Even if they wanted to officially change their gender, it would be a red tape nightmare to do so. Only Oregon and the District of Columbia will let you change the sex on your driver's license without having a full medical certification. California is going to start doing this in 2019. Washington State and New York are thinking about it. That's 46 other states that have been silent. Our transgender siblings are more likely to suffer domestic violence than other people. Nearly 50% are victims of sexual assault, physical, or emotional abuse. Transgender youth are especially at risk. They're often excluded and bullied and called names and tormented by their peers. A recent study revealed that 40% of transgender youth have attempted suicide, and that not even half of them have a supportive family member at home to whom they can turn. Is it really possible that things could now suddenly be worse for our siblings in this political climate? Yes. In February, one of the first things President Trump did was overturn Justice Department guidelines that allowed the use of federal law to protect transgender students in public schools. In July, in a blow to workplace rights, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced his opinion that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not protect employees from discrimination based on gender identity. This is contrary to several past rulings of the EEOC. In August, the president announced a reversal of Obama-era policy and called for a ban on transgender service in the armed forces, leaving the fate of 15,000 active personnel in question. Several military leaders and government personnel have spoken out against this ban. In October, Attorney General Sessions issued a directive that would allow employers to claim exemption from anti-discrimination laws based on religious grounds, even when it conflicts with existing anti-discrimination laws, threatening the rights of bisexual, gay, lesbian, and transgender people, as well as the reproductive justice rights of those who are pro-choice. This administration has also put forth a number of anti-LGBTQ nominees for federal positions. Jeff Mateer, a nominee for a federal judgeship in Texas, called trans children part of Satan's plan. Bethany Cosma, senior advisor to the Office of Gender Equality and Women's Empowerment at the U.S. Agency for International Development says that to allow transgender people access to public facilities would embolden sexual predators. And then there are the so-called bathroom bills. In 2017, emboldened by our new political climate, 16 states introduced bathroom bill legislation. 5 states, Texas, Florida, Iowa, North Carolina, and Oklahoma, added on top of that laws that would prohibit municipalities from enacting non-discrimination ordinances. So they're not even willing to let the local towns do the right thing. It's in this environment that those beautiful lives were cut short. It's in this climate of hatred and intolerance that they paid the ultimate price for doing nothing more than simply living their lives and being themselves. We need to remember them. It's only right and fitting that we should do so. And we need to honor them. And here are 3 simple ways you can do that. 1, educate yourself. Educate your family, your friends, your coworkers, and your community. Mark Lee of the Human Rights Campaign Foundation says that when we allow those around us to treat transgender people as less than worthy of love, acceptance, and support, we are complicit in a system that continues to punish and devalue people simply for being themselves. 2, you can get active politically. Register to vote, then actually go to the polls and vote for candidates who support social justice for everyone. Contact your elected officials on transgender and social justice issues. Participate in community meetings, hearings, and debates. Make your voice be heard. 3, be an active ally. Call out law enforcement, businesses, healthcare providers, teachers, and others on their discriminatory behavior. Be aware of intersectionality in our social justice work. More than 80% of transgender people killed since 2013 are people of color. Trans advocacy work is anti-racism work. We cannot forget that. If we are dedicated to the liberation of one, we must be dedicated to the liberation of all. Skylar Lee is a junior in high school, and he's been an activist in this fight now for 4 years as a junior in high school. He says, "We can't separate the conversation between racial justice and LGBTQ justice when our oppression and liberation are interconnected with one another. Our identities are intersectional simply because we exist." Talk about out of the mouths of babes. If you can't get out and do the work, contribute financially. If you aren't sure how you can help, or you just want to know more, come to the panel discussion on transgender awareness that we're having here at USG next Sunday, December 3rd, after service. It's part of our Welcoming Congregations program. There will be a lot of resources available and panelists from outside agencies and organizations who will be able to answer any questions that you have. So today, we remember India and JoJo and Jaquarius and Sherelle and the others who lost their lives this year. They were dancers, artists, singers, and business people. They were friends, neighbors, and cousins. They were tennis fans, pet owners, and Scrabble players. They were someone's child, no different than you or I. Just trying to live their lives. They may be gone from our sight, but let us remember the light each of them brought to this world. Let us honor and celebrate the light of their souls. This little light of yours, we're gonna let it shine. This little light of yours.